Ladies and gentlemen, good day, and welcome to the Network People Services Technology Limited Q4 FY25 earnings conference call hosted by Crillon Advisors Private Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will remain in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal the operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the call over to Mr. Harshil Ghanshyani from Crillon Advisors Private Limited for his opening remarks. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you. On behalf of Crillon Advisors, I would like to extend a warm welcome to everyone joining us for the NPST call Q4 FY25 conference call. We are pleased to have us with the esteemed senior management, Mr. Deepak Chand Thakur, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Ashish Aggarwal, Joint Managing Director, Ms. Savita Agarwal, Executive Director. The call is scheduled for 40 to 50 minutes to ensure that everyone has the opportunity to participate. We kindly request that each participant limit their questions to two, and this will help the management address as many queries as possible within the time frame. If you are unable to address any questions during the call, please feel free to reach us at info@crillonadvisors.com. We'll be happy to coordinate with the management team and arrange further discussions. We appreciate your understanding and cooperation. We look forward to an engaging and productive call. I'll now hand over the call to Mr. Deepak Chand Thakur. Over to you, sir.
Yeah, hi, thanks. Thank you so much. Very good evening, everyone. First of all, let me congratulate for the breakneck progress quarter on quarter your organization is going through. The decision at management level, guidance from board, efforts from NPSTs, shareholders' expectations, and adoption of several key practices has helped us rebuild the growth parameter of the organization after what we saw in Q3. We have closed the financial year positively with the upward trend. I remember, you know, either there is a win or there's a fundamental learning. Well, this year we went through both. It was not an easy journey, you know, but by the closure of the year, I can say that we are well prepared for the coming financial year. After our Q3 impact, we decided to double down on our efforts to strengthen our core values and also reestablish the growth curve. You know, like I said, it has taken time, but we know we have picked up at the right direction. There are four commitments we had with the investors, and I think last three, 4 months we have been able to conclude that. One, we got listed on main board, both NSE and BSE. Second, we declared dividend, which is 20% on the face value. Third, we have set up new subsidiary in UAE to focus on the international deals. And fourth, I think it is related to this where, you know, people kept on asking us, when are you going to a global market? Well, we have cracked the multi-million dollar contract in Africa to build a digital payment infrastructure. So I believe, you know, these are few things which we have been working for a very long time, and it has paid the result. In continuation to our efforts in scaling the business, we have increased our footprint in, you know, allied services and new segments. Like I said last time, our organization's entire focus is going to be de-risking and diversification so that the fundamental core of the business is reestablished and we don't go back to, you know, the impact we had in Q3. So, and also there are a lot of, you know, suggestions which came from the investors last time, when to host the call and, you know, giving the business analysis straight with the numbers. So I believe we have given as much information as possible. It helps you understand your organization better. Our quarterly growth has been about, you know, 24% QOQ jump over the last Q3 result. Whereas when it comes to yearly growth, it's almost about 36% in FY25 as against FY24. If you look at the numbers straight away, I would say that, you know, in last financial year, it was 130 crore in revenue. It has gone up to about 180 crore, which is almost about 39% to 40% odd growth. And EBITDA margin, on the other hand, has gone from 35% to about 37%. Your net profit, again, has not shrunk. In fact, it has gone up. from 20% to about 25%, and earning per share you have given, as against 13.85, it's about 23.27, which is about 68% jump. So that's about the number. There was a question about the talent pool in the organization. We thought we'll take it straight. Last year, there were about 20% addition in our talent pools. And this year, the estimated upward trend is going to be about 30-odd% incremental talent along with the AI implementation. There were improved efforts in restructuring due to the Q3 results. And, you know, while we were doing that, there were a lot of effort around all the other areas of business. So we have really grown well in terms of offline payments. We got multiple TSP wins. We got, you know, we declared about Risk Engine, AI-based Risk Engine last quarter. And today we have 3 orders already even before launching it. And, when it comes to global deal, that's something which happened yesterday, and I'm glad that, you know, we have called today to share this with you. CPaaS upgrade has taken time, the payment platform, to pick up. But, you know, in a short term, we have been able to sign multiple banks and about 15 payment aggregators in the platform. When it comes to technology partner business, you know, I can say that today, in about last 4-5 months odd, with all the efforts from my sales team, we got 6 new orders worth over 100 odd crore in the next 4 to 5 years. One of the largest deal being Central Bank of India, which is majorly because we ensured that we pivot into more areas of business, and offline payment was one, which is about 70 odd crore order in next 5 years. And of these 6 orders, 5 orders have SaaS based revenue, which means if the market grows, it has a direct impact on our business. I mean, the growth trend straight away is visible. We have shared the growth trend for the payment platform for this year as well as up to the year 2029-30, so that you can visibly see the, you know, what exactly we are targeting. For all the new businesses which I mentioned, our P&L will start showing the numbers from, you know, by the first half yearly itself in FY26. When it comes to payment platform, like I said, we signed 15 plus aggregators and large merchants. This itself will give us a GMV peak, which we did last year, coming in the first half yearly itself. And when it comes to new revenue stream, like I already mentioned, RIDP, which is our risk engine over AI, our offline payment business, they have already added revenue to us. And when it comes to international foray, we have already got, you know, global deal, which is about setting up a digital payment infrastructure in one of the economy in Africa. That's what we are doing. When it comes to small and medium-sized banks, we decided to build our own hosted solution so that we can target this side of the business as well. And I'm glad to say that we got most of the products certified. And our path to go live in the market is much faster than what we had earlier. Along with this, when it comes to new product, obviously this helps us build new funnel. Internet banking interoperability, which was declared in last April by RBI. We are already one of the POC vendors in the country. And then at the same time, when it comes to, you know, BBPS corporate payments, which is again a new initiative, we are one of the POC vendors. And ONDC on the buyer side of the business, we have already picked up that. The interesting piece here is, we decided to conclude this in quarter one itself so that we get 3 quarters entirely to add a funnel and incremental business revenue. That's all from my side. I think there are numbers already available, and whatever maximum we can give as part of analysis, we have done that. Rest I'll, you know, take up calls around whatever questions investors have. I think that will be good.
Thank you. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use their handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes from the line of Rupesh Tatiya from Sri Rama Managers. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you for the opportunity, sir, and congratulations on turnaround in Q4. I have two questions, basically. So first question, sir, is can you give Q4 revenue, can you split it into transaction-based and then the rest? That is one. And can you also give some color on how much of this revenue is from industries or applications where, you know, MDR is charged?
Rupesh, last quarter, most of the revenue is from TSP domain. I think transition-based revenue realization will happen in Q1, majorly because the way our policies has been restructured, it is going to happen in Q1, the entire billing. But mostly, 90-odd% is from the TSP domain. MDR, there is no MDR. Like I said, UPI does not have MDR. What we do essentially is we provide tech stack to banks and to payment aggregators. And on that, we get paid for the services we provide. So it's not the MDR revenue. It is against the technology. Like if there is a reconciliation model being used, there's a per transition some paisa that we get paid. If at all there is an entire infrastructure that we are sharing on, for you to transact, then there is certain revenue share. So what essentially we do is, as a technology service provider, we translate the entire tech cost into a small OPEX-based cost for you, and then you pay me on the transaction model. That's the
way. So I understand the SaaS model, sir. My question is, I mean, in the value chain, somebody has to charge MDR, right? And then we'll get a share of that. And, you know, credit card on UPI. There are some categories where MDR is charged.
Absolutely.
So my question is next year, let's say transaction-based revenue you get, what percentage of that will be where the end transaction is where the MDR will be charged?
So other than your account-based transactions, rest all has interchange income. MDR is charged to the merchant. There is an interchange income that goes to bank. And by virtue of being a technology partner in this domain, there is a percentage share of that interchange income which bank pays us. So let's say I'll just give you an example of one of the NCMC prepaid business that we recently structured, wherein there is a 50 odd bips for the NCMC travel. When you travel in a metro or somewhere, there is a cost of 50 bips, 0.50%. Now the MDR in the interchange in this case can be about, I don't want to share my number, but let's say somewhere around 50 to 60 odd percent approximately, when the bank will pay me. Here the bank, what I do for the bank, right from the technology to the acquisition cost to the entire solution domain, and the entire reconciliation, everything is taken care of by us. Against that, bank will pay me certain interchange share. That is how it will work. So when it comes to credit card on UPI, there will be certain similar story. It's about 0.70% and above. And there again, there is a revenue share. When it comes to, so credit line has not picked up, so I don't want to share about it, but the number is somewhere between 0.70 to 1.2. And when it comes to normal transactions, there we get paid for the reconciliation and the overall services that we share with the customer. Coming back to your second part of the question, we see that we'll be peaking our GMV like we did last year in this half yearly result. And then we see that, we anticipate our payment platform to be going back to the same 70-odd percent revenue share this financial year, coming from 65 to 70% odd from this particular business.
The GMV composition next year you are seeing, it will be similar in terms of where you can charge this interchange, where you will get this interchange. I mean, I don't know what was the. Let's say your GMV was 100 rupees in, let's say, FY 2024, and let's say out of 30, I mean, I'm just making up some number. Out of 30 of that is where you were eligible to get a, you know, interchange. That proportion will remain same in FY 2026, or that composition of GMV will change?
The proportion will remain same, but the ticket size will go down. The proportion will remain same.
What you're charging per transaction?
Yeah, the cost. Let's say if your reconciliation cost is 5 paise, I may get 3 paise, or I may get about 4 paise, but the volume will increase. That is majorly because of the increase in volume happening in the market. So as and when the volume increases, this is the impact which happens. So I'll just give you an example with one service. So we signed a deal with 5 paise, then we signed a deal with 4 paise also. So that's how it will go.
But the realization will go down compared to FY 2024?
No, the volume will increase massively.
Per transaction realization.
Yes.
I understand the number of transactions will go up.
Yes, yes.
And then the final question is UPI incentive. Last year, I think, was 1,400-1,500 crore, and this year's budget, financial year 2026, budget is, it has even gone down further to 500 crore. And I think what basically government now is saying is, you know, the industry now is mature. We don't want to sort of handhold you. So you guys figure out how to, you know, make money with such large volume. So how do you read it into this, and which categories do you... I mean, at least my expectation now is that the MDR will come in some categories, at least with large merchants, retailers, like that. So what is your view on, you know, MDR being charged in UPI transaction in FY 2026 or FY 2027?
Yeah, I take a lot of positive from this. There is always a backup to such kind of decisions whenever happens. In the sense, it's we need to understand that if India's digital growth has been due to this instrument, which contributes 82% as on today to the entire digital volume in the country, then this instrument will definitely have a backup if the MeitY incentives have gone down. So very first thing, where is the MeitY incentives now applicable? It is applicable on small size businesses, which is fair, and that is where we should be looking at. Second, when it comes to the contribution coming from the credit card in UPI ecosystem, that is ramping up. It has an MDR already, so that's where the revenue will start increasing. Third, there are a lot of new players in the market beyond PhonePe, Google Pay, who are into, you know, this business, and they are doing virtual credit card-only model. So this again increases a tremendous potential around the MDR to be generated from the new instruments in it. Third, like you rightly said, you have to figure out, and we being early in this stage, I wouldn't say that there was... I don't think there was anyone else to start getting into this segment than us from the technology domain. What we analyzed was there's a huge potential in the risk-based modeling, which is required to safeguard the payment ecosystem. And for that, we started building the risk engine way too early. The result, even before we launch it, we have three orders in place. So this is nothing but an output of how the maturity comes in the system. So there will be more and more models coming up, and there will be more and more opportunities. And yes, MDR will hit the business, I mean, upward, and that will come as and when the instruments start adding value to the system.
Maybe just one clarification. So some of these things you are saying, right, credit card and some of these things, this is basically already existing customers or existing merchants who are used to paying MDR, right? Credit cards, these are already, and merchants are already paying MDR.
No. I think you should-
The issue is in UPI. Just let me finish, sorry. The issue in UPI is there is a lot of new people we got to, you know, do digital payments, through UPI, and these people are not used to paying MDR. So how will that, you know, transition work? So I just want to separate the two.
Two things. One, it's not just the existing users, but it is also the new cards issued in the market, and that is ramping up way fast. Second, and it is virtual only process. Okay, so you will see that complete shift in FY26. Second, so that has an impact. Secondly, when you say what was your second one, the MDR contribution, right?
So, because 90% of UPI people who are using UPI, they have never paid MDR in their life. So, how do you make, you know, transition them to start paying MDR?
Yeah. I gave an example. I'm not again going back to MDR. I'm going back to interchange, which is a component of MDR. So now I'll just give you an example. Again, don't quote me for the number. I'm just giving you an idea how it works, okay? So let's say approximately the interchange is sitting at 0.90% to 1% for a credit-based transaction. In the UPI-based transaction, the same interchange will not be 0.0 to 1%. It can be one-third or lesser than that. So UPI will still be the most preferred instrument because you are paying one third of the entire interchange that is payable in the ecosystem. One. Secondly, there is a very clear demarcation of small, medium, large merchants. Okay. So wherever there is a small and medium merchant, the call can be taken by the ecosystem. Wherever there are large merchant, if you go to a mall or you go to a shop where you are spending about 5,000, 10,000 rupees and you are still using QR code payment, I think 82% is UPI. Then in that case, the merchant does not have a problem. The problem is where you're transacting for 100 rupees, you're transacting for, you know, maybe 500 rupees, and the expectation is that you pay 1% over it as a cost. Now, when you segregate the ecosystem and you understand where there is a paying capacity, and again, what you're paying is one third of the actual cost, then UPI is the most preferred option. So let's see how it goes. But yes, this is a very positive move in the industry. I'm just trying to give you an understanding of the ecosystem.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for very elaborate answers, Deepak. And I'll come back in the queue. Yeah.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Akshay from AK Investment. Please go ahead.
Hello. Congratulations, sir, for the good turnaround in Q4. So my first question is, so in financial performance, is the worst behind us? And if yes, then how much revenue growth are we expecting in FY26 based on all the visibilities and all the things, the new products we have talked about? If not for the full year, but at least for the half one of this financial year.
Well, I would say that Q3 was worst. It's behind us now. We have taken time. I mean, again, as if you really ask me, the kind of effort which has gone into it, we really, you know, want to see the cumulative impact of all the effort which has gone, which I'm seeing, you know, coming up very soon. Like we have, you know, businesses coming from offline, which we did not have around Q2, Q3 coming in. We have revenue models in SaaS base in Risk Engine coming in Q3, Q4. We have payments coming in dollars now in you know, quarters here onwards. So all of this will contribute to the growth. I would still like to, you know, I don't know, I would still like to avoid the number right now, because we would like to still stay put with the growth number that we have already pushed from Q3 to Q4. But one thing I can say is that there will be a quarterly growth like the way we did it last year. So that's the trend that we'll be currently committing right now. And, you know, as and when we go ahead, the numbers will only multiply.
Sure, sir. And sir, currently how many total banking clients do we have in our ecosystems, and how many are live and how many are yet to live? Like we had talked about the CBI, Central Bank of India. So is it our new customer or is it already onboarded before?
No, so Central Bank of India is completely new customer. We got the order somewhere at the end of Q4, if I'm not wrong. And we have done a turnaround within about in less than 30 days to make them go live in phase one. So that we see the stat-based number coming in from Central Bank of India from Q1 itself. So that's about CBI. It has gone live. Okay. And the execution is still going on. And we see that, the impact coming in quarter on quarter as and when the number of merchants grew in the model. Similar, to your first question, we have more than 22 plus banks and payment prepaid instruments, which is PPI holders right now, both are regulated entities in various models. We have added nothing less than six or seven clients in a short time. When it comes to payment platform, we had just one. We are now in three. And when it comes to aggregators, these are all like 15 odd aggregators now signed for the deal. Yeah.
Okay. And my last question is on the South Africa deal. So if you can put some color on that as to how, what type of service do we provide? And you said that it is a multi-million dollar deal. So the revenue from the same will start accruing from this quarter or when? So can you put some light on that?
So it's not South Africa. It is in Africa. We cannot disclose the country. As per certain agreements, and so the execution has already started this quarter. We are expecting this is going to be 7-8 months execution period, but the revenue will start hitting from Q1 itself, and because there are milestone based payments, this is about 6 plus 7 years contract. For us, what is a bigger advantage for us is this is the first of its technology in Africa, which we believe will be, big jump for us in the entire African continent. So this is a multi-year contract now.
Right, sir. Right. Sure, sir. Sir, small suggestion from my side is that if this type of large deal happens in our company, then you can share these details to all the investors so that we can get better idea about it. That was from my side. All the best for the FY26, and thank you so much for answering my questions.
Thank you so much, Akshay. I would like to share something here. There was a slight, discussion around, because we signed deal. So although we started earlier, we got it in our hand, the signed document, we got it in our hand yesterday. And as per certain policy guidelines, it was supposed to go today. And we decided to, there are a lot of things happening together. So I left it to my team to make a decision around it. But yes, your point is taken. We'll do it. The way you're expecting.
Sure, sir. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Abhishek Sharma, an investor. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yeah, hi, Abhishek.
So my question is, could you please explain how the AI machine learning powered RegTech solution performed in Q4 in terms of client traction, use cases, and monetization potential?
So, Abhishek, like I said, in Q4, we declared that we have completed our testing and we have trained the module with about 640 million data. So that to bring this up, we have taken about 1.5-2 years of effort, because any AI engine needs a lot of accuracy and confidence to predict. We are not in a model wherein we are writing a rule engine. If it breaches and then it gives the result. We are in a system. What we have built is it predicts anything beyond the rule also. So for that, it took about 1.5-2 years. Last quarter, we decided to, you know, finally do the POC. And this quarter, we have actually got the output. We have already, so existing customers, wherever we go. So they're so, you know, it solves their regulatory problem in such a way that, you know, most of them have said yes, and we have 3 already in our hand. What it does is, it evaluates the entire merchant information. It picks up the information from the market, and then it also picks up the transaction nature and behavior. Basis that, it tells you where exactly the challenge can be. So what is the trust score on a particular transaction, and what is the trust score on a particular merchant? Basis which you can start taking decision. We have further gone to a level wherein it can predict the liability amount a bank can sit on for a particular, you know, merchant, if at all not addressed on time. So that's the evolution the system is going through. You know, that's why even though we have this in our hand, 3 orders, we decided that there will be a massive launch in you know, in Q2 odd, and then we will see numbers coming in from Q3 later.
Okay. So my next question is, what progress was made in Q4 on the pilot projects such as BBPS switch and credit line on UPI?
So credit on UPI, there is not much progress because it's taking its own, the industry is taking its own time. So as and when it progresses, we'll work on it. When it comes to BBPS, we have additional orders. I think we have got 2 new orders from the customers. And at the same time, it has added a very strong funnel to the company. Further, we have also gone into the BBPS corporate payment model, which is a separate engine altogether. So we have also added BBPS agent institute model, which further allows us to get into the new segment. So that's from the product side and the business side.
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir. That's it from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Harish Kumar Gupta from Nirmal Bang Securities Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. आप ये last time बता रहे थे कि जो जो भी last quarter में अपनी जिस client के साथ issue हुआ था, तो last quarter में आपने mention किया था कि वो issue resolve हो चुका है और हमने केवल 1 महीने का revenue lose किया है. तो शायद किसी ने सवाल भी पूछा था आपसे कि अपन मतलब लास्ट जो उस क्वार्टर के सेकंड क्वार्टर के आसपास का रेवेन्यू फोर्थ क्वार्टर में कर सकते हैं क्या, तो आपने उसका जवाब दिया था कि शायद, बट काफी बड़ा गैप है, तो आई थिंक कुछ तो चीज मिसिंग है, तो आप थोड़ा सा इसको एक्सप्लेन करना चाहेंगे?
यस सर, यस सर, आई एक्सप्लेन दैट. मैंने साफ बताया था कि जो हमारा Q3 के वक्त जो चैलेंज आया था, उसको एड्रेस करने के लिए हमें मल्टी बैंक मॉडल में जाना था, जो हमें तुरंत करना था. एंड इट इज नॉट लाइक ओवरनाइट, 1-2 महीने में होता नहीं है, हमें थोड़ा टाइम लग गया उसको करने में. आई थिंक द कॉल हैपेंड समवेयर इन द मंथ ऑफ फेब्रुअरी, मिड फेब्रुअरी या उसके आसपास कहीं हुआ होगा. तभी भी मैंने कहा था कि वी हैव जस्ट एड्रेस्ड इट, वी हैव गॉट द अप्रूवल इन समवेयर एंड ऑफ जनवरी, और अब हम इसको रिवैम्प करेंगे. तो मैंने 1 महीने की बात तो नहीं कही थी, मैंने ऑलमोस्ट कहा था कि मेरा हमारा 1 क्वार्टर खराब हुआ है, नेक्स्ट क्वार्टर वी आर गोइंग टू पिक इट अप, विच वॉज द क्वार्टर दैट वी वर सेटिंग अप. उसमें थोड़ा गैप आया है, बट लाइक आई सेड कि उसमें टाइम लगता है थोड़ा, किसी चीज को पूरा रीबिल्ड करके, मॉडल चेंज करके, हर चीज नहीं करने का. पैरेलली हमने दूसरे एरियाज में भी एड किया रेवेन्यू, सो दैट नथिंग गेट्स, यू नो, वी हैव अ कंसिस्टेंट ग्रोथ इन द ऑर्गेनाइजेशन, विच वॉज मिसिंग इन Q3. इसके अलावा मुझे ये पूछा गया था कि आप सेम रेवेन्यू जो Q2 का था, आप उसको एंटिसिपेट करते हो क्या, या फिर आप स्टिल यू आर लुकिंग एट दैट 50% और ग्रोथ इन फाइनेंशियल ईयर. आई सेड वी आर सिटिंग हियर राइट नाउ इन मिड फेब्रुअरी, एंड आई फील दैट यू नो आर एस्पिरेशन इज देयर, बट इट इज वेरी डिफिकल्ट ड्यू टू द टाइम विच इज लेस्ट राइट नाउ. तो मैंने ये साफ बताया था, लाइक आई सेड इट इज ऑल द फंडामेंटल वैल्यू दैट वी आर पुशिंग है, बट उसमें थोड़ा टाइम लगा है उसको करने में. बट मैंने कभी एक महीने का रेवेन्यू इम्पैक्ट नहीं कहा था, मैंने ये सारे माइलस्टोन्स के साथ नंबर्स की बात की थी.
ओके ओके थैंक यू. एंड अगर जैसे हम बेस रेवेन्यू जो इस क्वार्टर का है 28 CR लेके चले, तो आर यू कॉन्फिडेंट कि मतलब हम 10% क्वार्टर ऑन क्वार्टर ग्रोथ तो अपन यहाँ से कंटिन्यू कर सकते हैं?
सर हमने आई थिंक द ओनली डिप विच हैपेंड इन Q3, उसके अलावा कोई भी ऐसा क्वार्टर नहीं था जो मतलब कभी 10% भी 10% मिनिमम गया हो. मैं उस
पहले तो बहुत ज्यादा वो तो क्वार्टर ऑन क्वार्टर पहले तो कुछ एक्सेप्शनल ग्रोथ आई थी, तो उस
क्वार्टर में भी आप देखोगे तो 20% ग्रोथ है, पहले 15% के आसपास रहा है. हम वही कुछ कोशिश कर रहे हैं, बट यू नो अगेन आई सेड दैट डोंट पुट नंबर्स इन माय माउथ, क्योंकि हम अभी बहुत मल्टीपल रेवेन्यू स्ट्रीम ऐड किए हैं कंपनी में. सो वी विल डेफिनेटली गिव यू गुड रिजल्ट, डोंट वरी सर.
ओके थैंक यू सर, थैंक यू.
थैंक यू. The next question comes from the line of Vinod Chandra Agarwal, an investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. So I have the first question is like, what would be our total number of employees we have?
I think about 330 maybe, 335, aise hoga kuch.
Okay. The second question is about, I would like to understand about this market size. Estimated market size for each of the product which you have presented. I believe that is only the Indian market size, or is it a global market size you have presented?
You're referring to my presentation which you have shared today?
Yes, yes. The last quarter and this quarter as well. So for example, let's say if I take RepTech, which is a risk intelligence platform, right? We have a $2 billion market size. So, is it in a Indian market size,
Indian,
like $2 billion?
Indian.
Okay.
That's our calculation of the product. RegTech is a much larger ecosystem. Okay. ये बहुत नया है. अभी इसमें हर कोई अपने innovations करेगा, and there will be people who will be building their modules. We have already built certain module. Which according to our calculation, like what kind of revenue we are expecting, what is the total transaction volume in the country, and where exactly it can cater. So this is the module that we have developed right now, there is a 2 billion market size. Now it can be, as and when the module multiplies and the market evolves, it can go beyond that also. So there will be more and more innovations, nayi cheeze add hongi, there will be new regulatory compliances that will come into picture. So as and when that happens, the market size can only increase, it will not decrease.
Okay. And in that additional question is like, I see the segments which caters this risk and intelligence platform, that is banks, PAs and regulators, that I can understand. But I don't understand like what is the merchant? Is it a merchant also requires risk intelligence? Because generally merchants is something who pays the MDR or some charges to the banks. Right. So do they require the risk intelligence?
Assume there are utility companies. Assume there are companies who are doing more than, you know, 2 to 3 payment aggregators taken together. That's the transition volume they do. So, and then there are companies who face the payment challenges day in and out. Impact hote ho sab companies. So there is always a potential there. So merchant mein kya hoga? There will be certain categories. Let's say there may be hospitals, there may be hospitality industry where there can be, you know, fraud chargebacks. There can be, there are a lot of businesses which have gone complete online. There is no offline nature at all. For such businesses, how do you justify that goods were delivered or, you know, the payment transactions were made on time? The refunds were done on time. There is no fraud, like, pay. Usne goods and services bhi le li aur chargeback bhi raise kar diya ki mujhe nahi mila hai. And what are you going to do in that case? So there are a lot of impacts there. So our focus right now is banking ecosystem and aggregators. and PPIs. These are all regulated entities. And then this will pivot into the merchant problem understanding, which is the next step.
Okay, understood. And one more question about like last quarter, like you presented that we have also won the contract for the Middle East, some technology services, right? So if you can just give some more insight, like what kind of a contract is it, like something...
Service-based contract. This is service-based contract. So ideally what happens is when you want to enter a new market, like what we did in Africa for last 1.5 years, we have been consistently nurturing this particular account. So wait for, you know, a quarter more, we'll share more information. So what happens is your nature of product and the solution that you have built in India may not be accepted or may not be, you know, feasible to be sold exactly as is in those markets. वहाँ का geography अलग है, regulation अलग है, and we are building a solution for the regulated ecosystems. So in that case, we are supposed to venture into certain service-based model and then start building the product stack and then get into IPR. So ये service-based business था, जहाँ पे we started building the stack and then it will evolve.
Okay, so work is already started. Is that your saying?
Yeah.
Okay. And just last one question is about like generally like right now we claim like 7-8% of the transactions of the UPI transactions, that is what our market share we have, right? So in a similar way, do we expect like in this all the categories we will have a similar kind of a market share, or is it something we expect lower or higher kind of that market share in all of these products?
So when I say 7%, 8% market share, that means that's the total transition we are processing in our technology partner domain. It is not related to the team and platform, which I just discussed with the first call. That's a different size altogether. So as and when we grow that size, for sure, that means we are increasing the contract value and we are increasing the contract with the number of banks. That's why today, whatever I've shared that we decided to get into a hosted solution so that we cater to more and more banks in the system. Like BBPS we have launched, we want it to go on a hosted model as well. Why just UPI? So that's how we study the overall requirement. Second, like I said, if there is a first mover, the market share has to be higher. If you're a late entrant, then market share will be lesser. So like we anticipate that RegTech will give us larger market share in its segment. I'm not expecting a huge number, but yes, it will not be like, you know, 7% odd, because UPI, we were very late entrant. We are almost 5 years after, you know, our large competitors who are in market. We, as an organization, we went there after 5 years. So again, there will be a market share benchmarking for every product that we go. Wherever there we get a first entry, wherever we have some, you know, better understanding, our share will be larger.
Okay, understood. And one last question is about like this market size, when we say $2 billion, right, annual market size, is it like only for our type of service provider, right, not for the entire ecosystem?
Yes, for our type of service provider.
Okay, so basically we are saying like this $2 billion, that is annually, and if we just even say, let's say 5-7% market share, it turns out in a good amount of revenue.
Yeah, that's the journey. Yes.
Okay. Thank you. That's all from my side, and good luck for the future quarters.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Yash from CD Integrated Services Limited. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. I'm from Shyam Patel Asset Management. I was continuously tracking your company. So my question is, will our YOY growth in H1 in terms of number will be grown, as we have seen in the last two quarters, there is a massive decline in YOY.
Yeah, YOY growth you will see now this year.
From now onwards, we can see.
You are referring to quarterly numbers YOY.
Yes, sir. Like in Q, in like in H1, in Q1, so the growth was 58 crore. So are we projecting that we will beat that estimate or we need to see sequentially only?
I can definitely look at a higher number coming in from Q1, Q2. But to be honest, if you benchmark it with, you know, no, not exactly. So if you benchmark it with the highest number ever achieved by the company in those two quarters, I believe that the role is definitely going there only. That's the direction. But उसको अभी मैं numbers में नहीं
बोलना
चाहता। Yes, there will be a growth, but उसको थोड़ा calculate
करना चाहता। With the H1 number, like if you can give some value.
Yeah, I committed there is a quarter-on-quarter growth, and let us see how numbers.
Sorry?
I said I have committed quarter-on-quarter growth to you. I'm committed growth also, half-yearly growth also. But benchmarking it with certain number is something that let the results, as and when the results come, we can do that.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Ashish Soni from Family Office. Please go ahead.
This talent pool growth of 30%, so where exactly will this be deployed? Is it for product development, or is it for the Africa project, or where exactly? Can you throw some light on that?
We have a major requirement around the tech and the product domain, because if you see what we have shared, there are four new product launches that we are doing in Q1 itself. We are going global. For us to execute so many and then there are six wins. So for us to execute, there is a need for the tech and the product team. So I feel that about 60-odd%, 60%-65% or maybe more, will be the tech and product domain. I think about 30-odd% of that, maybe, you know, 10%-15% will be around sales. As and when we expand a new product and new territory, there needs to be more and more domain expert to sell the solution. So there will be sales, and the rest will be the operations and the other areas.
Regarding this Africa project, so do we only expect or are we in negotiation or discussion for other geographies, some similar projects, or is it like one-off? What's your sense based on the win?
We are in discussions with multiple partners.
Okay.
Because we decided to go with the partner model, channel partner model. We want to play a specific role around OEM, so that the IPR and, you know, those kind of, you know, quality ownership is with us, and that is where we decided to focus on the solutions alone. We will not be focusing a lot around the service-based revenue, which is where the channel partner locally will help. And, on the product and the core tech side, we'll be playing the role. So we have about three to four channel partners with whom we are working day in and out.
So this global expansion will be like this with partner-led and your own products, do you think it will come?
Our own product.
Maybe. So one is like service-based to get an entry and then selling your product. Is that the strategy, if I read?
Yes. You build. So what happens is you, based on the product requirement of the local market, which let's say your product may be just about 40%-50% there. So on a service-based model, you revise the entire platform. It takes time, and once that is done, the product fitment is identified, and then you are the product owner, and the local channel partner is your service provider.
Okay. And just one request, in AGM, can you come up with your strategy roadmap for next two, three years, at least, what's your thought process? Because I know you are giving some, but at least annually, because I think you guided earlier, I think one or two quarters back, that you know, try to give a yearly guidance sort of thing. So if you can come with that by AGM, that will help all the investors.
Yeah, I will definitely note that and let me work out on that.
Thank you. All the best.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Gopi, an investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, congrats for the good set of numbers.
Thanks, Gopi.
I have one specific question around what happened in Q3. So there is one event happened and we lost revenue of Q3. That's clear for me from the API transaction side. That means in the Q3, whoever was depending on us for payments through this API flow, can I assume that they all got impacted and that's why they have shifted to some other player? Because when I compare Q4 of last year and Q4 of this year, there's still a lot of gap, right? 46 crores versus 24-25 crores. So we didn't regain that revenue. So is it because those customers moved to somebody else?
So let me tell you, there was a three-pronged strategy. One is, obviously we took guidance from our board and, you know, all the guys that has been working with us. One is de-risking the entire existing model. See, our core is where the revenue comes in, and so we believe that's a fundamentally very strong value proposition. That's why we have grown that way. So de-risking, for that, it was required to first re-establish the, the payment flows and the overall tech stack with the multiple banks. Now, see, it's a regulated segment, right? It cannot be overnight changed. Earlier, we did not know how long it will take. Later on, when we got to know, we got onto it. I don't think there were holidays at all. And then whatever time we have taken, we have been able to reestablish that. But not stopping there, it was important to diversify in the allied services and the similar payment model. Like if you are in online business, then why you are not on offline? So let us do the offline as well. If you are in BBPS, then why you are not on ONDC? If you are on payment stack, why you are not on RegTech? So all that taken together, we have further diversified. So if you see two slides, we committed that de-risking and diversification, whatever we have shared, we have been able to achieve that. So model-wise, we have built that. Third is, obviously, for good number of time, investors have been asking us, why don't you go global? You know, and then I keep on saying that there is a fitment, there are a lot of efforts which is required. Don't expect us to happen so quickly. But it was all due respect, whatever efforts we did, we could not project that it will come early, and it has come. So what happens in global market, your margin is better, your market expansion is larger, you have more area to work on, so that if at all there is any dip or any issue, then you have other businesses that you have built to ensure, you know, that goes into building the stronger and larger revenue model the organization should have. So that's the major way to, you know, handle it. And that's what we have been
doing. So I have understood how we have solved it. That part is clear to me. Understood how we are ensuring this doesn't repeat. I'm just trying to visualize the stickiness of our product. So when some issue happened in Q3, can I assume that the customers who were using us shifted to somewhere else? Because they need to do things, whether we are able to enable it or not.
Agreed.
So they would have shifted to somewhere else. And can I assume that it takes time to bring them back?
Yeah, it does. That's the reason why our Q4 number otherwise would have been much larger. We have taken that time to be, that's why. Otherwise, it was like, you know, one side is you have banks, other side is you have to reestablish, retest, redo everything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, the peak of, let's say, last year, whichever quarter we had the peak, it's because of, let's say, I'm assuming majorly because of the huge transaction we have enabled through API. So, when we get these customers back, ideally the peak should come back in this year, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Got it. But we don't want to commit the numbers, I'm assuming.
Yes.
Got it.
I mean, see, it's all positive. It's going upward. But what I have seen is that, you know, we really want to put those good numbers in place and give it and bring it back. So if I would have committed anything overly in Q4, then it would have had a, even after 20% growth, I don't think it would have taken it, anyone would have taken it right. So
right.
That's why there is a very strong process which has been built. I think you should focus on those kind of fundamentals which the organization has. Probably earlier no one was looking into it. Today it's all there. It's right there. So you can pick up from there, and it is easier to then anticipate whether we are taking the right decisions.
Yes, yes, that is very clear. I'm also very excited from the product pipeline that I've seen. And also, I think we have taken all the steps to ensure that future is very bright and we never have this situation. So thanks for that.
Thanks.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Nishant from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I just had one question which is already answered, like basically regarding the guidance. So, which you have not given. So, we'll wait for Q1 and see if we can get some guidance.
Sure, Nishant.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Srinivasu from TIA. Please go ahead.
Hi, Deepak. Sorry, a great set of numbers.
Thanks,
My question is about BBPS, B2B, you said it is a fast emerging space and targeting 2.5 billion market share there. Could you share what is your go-to-market strategy, like how many billers or merchants are onboarded or in funnel? Similarly, you are saying ONDC platform is another 10 billion market opportunity. So how many merchants or banks are in discussion?
So BBPS, B2B, I think we'll be completing this in Q1 by 30th June, which I have mentioned in one of my slides. I see that this is absolutely new. So whatever offline market we have in India, that is the entire set of targets that we have. We intend to continue exploring the opportunity from the partners that we have. It may be our payment aggregators, it may be the cooperative banks, it may be the CBS vendors, all those whom we have tied up. So the funnel will come from these places. There will be revenue which will be generated based on the overall transactions, the invoice process, and the amount settled in the BBPS corporate payment. Second is, when it comes to ONDC, we have picked up the financial services segment, which has mutual fund, which has your insurance, and then we have personal loan as well. Now, availability of financial services on this segment allows us to generate revenue and does a direct market entry. For this, for sure, we have couple of banks where we are going aggressively, and then NBFCs, fintech, these are all guys, I think we have mentioned that as well. These are all guys who will be direct customers. So, that's the overall growth plan in the ONDC space. Because we are just focusing on buyer apps. We don't want to right now jump into supplier. That's a little bit tedious. In the buyer app, because we are in this space wherein we have access to merchant ecosystem, this allows us, easier entry.
Okay. My next question is about small technical question. How do you manage core banking integrations for the small banks or hosted model for these cooperative banks? Because most of these banks are having legacy systems without any APIs.
We have a middleware, ISO 2 XML, which clearly, so your entire legacy is ISO 853, I guess, and then your new age digital payments work on XML. So we have our own IP, which has been built to ensure that such legacy system has no impact. So it may be JSON, it may be any format, we can get the converter in place.
Something like SDK.
It's a middleware. So let's say you are communicating from a CBS to my system on an ISO. So CBS has an ISO. Okay, let's say top three are your Oracle, Infosys, and your which is the third one, TCS, Banks, Flexcube, and which is the Infosys one. I forgot that name. Pinnacle. Okay. So majorly you have ISO based message transmission from these guys because that's the model in which it was built. Now your digital payments are on XML. So between CBS and my digital payment switch, there will reside a middleware. This middleware ensures that the communication between two systems is rightly exchanged. So we have done integration with all these three names which I have mentioned. So we have ready middleware. So tomorrow, if there is any bank which has either of these core banking solutions, so we know what kind of processing needs to be done. So it's all because we have been in this space for quite a long time now.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Hardik Gandhi from HPMG Shares and Securities Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Am I audible?
Yeah. Tell me.
Yeah. So, just wanted to know, I'm really happy the change in tone from Q1 to Q4 and congratulations on the new product launch. For someone who does not have that, as much idea of the product, which is...
What's breaking?
Can you hear me now?
Can you confirm if it's my network?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me or is the voice breaking?
This is better.
Yeah. So I was just saying that congratulations on the amazing product line and the change in tone from Q3 to Q4. Just wanted to know for someone who does not understand your products that well, for me to gauge the factors which pivot your company towards a good direction and a bad one. So just wanted some guidance from you on the for a layman basis that what things do you want to happen and what things will be are which you don't want to happen. Kind of a SWOT analysis, but like opportunities and threats, so that in case if going forward we see some trend happening, we can directly relate to the company and the future performance. If that makes sense. Sorry.
How do I? So let me try to, answer this. So very first thing, if there was a single line of trend, then we would have been in Q3. I mean, that's what we did in Q2, right? So we don't want to be sitting on those kind of trends. What we try to do is we try to give more clarity to our investors. As in, what is the segment that we are targeting and what is the size of that segment? So it helps you understand whether that particular segment is growing or not. So when you go ahead, you do your study, you'll come to know that, what is that RBI is declaring in their vision for the next 3 years in payments. And that particular vision may carry certain, digital payment growth story. This is going on for a decade now. So we gave you an idea about what is the number, what is the trend that is going on in the market. Now, if I tell you about the online payments, you have the number. If I tell you that I'm getting into offline payments, you'll easily get the number around that also. How many offline merchants have been digitized in this country. If I tell you about RegTech, I think that's a niche. You'll have to rely on the number that we have shared based on
provided. Yeah.
But you can look at the fraud which is increasing in India. Maybe that will give you an analysis. If the fraud has increased by twice, that means the market size has also increased by twice.
But on the RegTech, is it more related to cybersecurity or is it very much related to transaction fraud?
Transaction frauds.
Okay. And just to understand more about the product line, given all the products we have, how difficult or easy would it be for someone to replicate that and to develop the relations which you have developed with the customers, given that there are so many new product launches and we've been in the market for some time?
Customers we have right now, I mean, there are customers who are with us for a decade now. I mean, there are customers who have recently joined us and then started with one product and multiplied with multiple products. I mean, we have more than two, three products per customer now. So, I would say that, yes, it is not very difficult to build the product. What's important is what value-added services or what kind of, you know, expertise you add to the solution. I mean, it's not about just building a processing engine or an API. It's about what makes sure that the API works and what makes sure that, you know, all the compliances and all the other areas are rightly taken care. So I would say that being an SME in this segment creates a lot of value add, which allows us to visualize what next. So that's something that, you know, enough to diverge.
So it would be correct for me to assume that in future you want to be one of few rather than one of many.
Yes. We would like to be the innovator, and we would like to be setting the trend.
But just sorry to contradict on this part, that given that you want to be the innovator, do you think a lot of your money, time and resources will go into innovating something which might end up just changing because of the regulatory change, or rather than following something established? Sorry, just putting a.
Yeah. So you should know this, that we just don't pick up like in any, you know, left, right. There has to be a need. There has to be a very, very strong calling for it. RegTech was not something we just picked up. We got to know the kind of frauds happening. We know, we have the data points. We know what is happening in the industry with our customers. So there has to be a need to innovate something. So we are not like, you know, suddenly we do something else. There was a discussion around internet banking interoperability somewhere in April when, you know, the ex-governor of RBI, Mr. Shaktikanta Das, declared that this piece is missing. So we decided to stay put on it, and whenever there is an opportunity, get into it. So we ensured we invest into it, because once that happens, it becomes a compliance requirement for any bank. So you invest in such pieces. So yes, the decision is purely based on the need, and we have a right guidance from board coming in for what kind of R&D budget we should have and what kind of new product investment we should be doing.
Understood, understood. So thank you for the elaborate answer. All the best for the future. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, with that, we conclude the question and answer session. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Harshal Ghanshyani from Kirin Advisors Private Limited for closing comments.
Thank you, sir. Thank you everyone for joining the conference call of NPST Limited. If you have any queries, you can write us at info@kirinadvisors.com. And once more, thank you, management, thank you, participant, and thank you, everyone.
Thank you. On behalf of Kirin Advisors Private Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.